Good morning, this has been Rogers, and what's trending this week is the reopening of schools in Putnam County. Discussions have been going on for months throughout the country and state on the best structure for children to start the school year. I am joined in studio this morning by the Vice Chair of the Putnam County School Board, Celeste Gammon, and Board Member Kim Cravens. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. Thank you for having us, Ben.
Thank y'all for being here. I want y'all here because you're going to inform those people maybe that haven't had a chance to listen to y'all's meetings or be involved in your meetings about what's been going on. We've got a lot of topics to discuss. I want to first say I think y'all have done an outstanding job on the process of getting our children back to school. I appreciate your service. Kim, you hear me say that all the time when you're here. Public service is hard. Celeste, you're doing a great job. I appreciate it. But I want to talk about the process getting our children back to school. The governor updated his plan on Tuesday afternoon, so I want to talk about that as well. But I want to begin by updating our listeners on the status of the fiscal year 2021 budget, if that's okay with y'all.
Absolutely.
So on Monday night, the Putnam County Board of Commissioners approved the fiscal year 2021 budget for all funds and operations of the county. The meeting was unconventional as we continued to meet electronically via a conference call, but it went smooth and everyone voted yes on the budget and tax rate. The tax rate remains the same at 2.926. As chairman of the commission and chairman of the budget committee, I want to thank all of our officials and department heads for working with us this year on submitting a budget that did not add a burden to our taxpayers. We budgeted revenue conservatively because we do not know what's ahead with this pandemic and the economy. Our officials stayed with the same budget as last year, and some officials even reduced their budgets to make up for the step raises that the employees received. Mayor Porter and his office did a wonderful job on communicating to everyone and putting this budget together. I especially want to thank the school board. You all are aware of how this pandemic is affecting everyone. It's affected every department. It's affected y'all's operations, your process, your thinking. You approved a budget and sent to this commission that did not require any additional funding.
Correct.
And I'm grateful for that. So any additional local funding, I should say. So no increase in taxes, sales tax, property tax, anything like that. The BEP allocation to the county was an additional, what, $1.9 million or so?
Technically, that's pretty close to it.
So that's close. So the state's giving the school system an additional $1.9 million for basic education program funding, and y'all are able to use that.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about those highlights here shortly.
Okay.
I really feel like for the last 5 years, the school board and the county commission have done a really good job and actually improved the relationship by communicating and being transparent with each other. I know in times past, as my career in consulting with the county, and I consult with all parts of the county, school, highway, general fund, every official, it's been rocky.
Mm-hmm.
I've been at meetings where it's been rocky. And it's like nobody wanted to talk. Nobody wanted to communicate. And that's both sides, commission and school board. I think the last 5 years has been really good. There have been a little few tense moments, but not anything we couldn't overcome. So I guess my first question I want to ask you two, because y'all both been in since, what, you were in 14, you started in 12.
2012.
So you're up for re-election, no opponent.
This year.
So you'll serve again. You're 2 years from now, Celeste. But
right.
but basically 6 years and 8 years mm-hmm. of service to the school board. So it's not you're not just new. What do you think, Celeste, I'll start with you if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
What do you
sure.
think has made the difference on the relationship improving between the commission and the school board?
You know, I think it's been we have kind of laid our pride aside and just been willing and able to listen to each other and have more open dialogue with one another, more so than ever before. The leadership that's at the commission and the leadership that's on the Putnam County School Board, we've just had better communication together, and I know that that has been appreciated on both ends.
Yeah, I agree. Kim?
Same. It's just that open dialogue and understanding that our purpose is to look at the schools and the commission's picture is to look, or they're to look at the big picture. So we have to understand that they have a whole lot more to look at, and I think that understanding, realizing that they'd love to give everybody some more money, but that's not always possible. So just open communication is key.
Yeah, and the joint meetings we've had, we normally have two a year. We have one in the spring and then one mm-hmm. in the fall or right around budget time or winter. And I think that helps, you know. And there's been a couple times where I felt like some of our commissioners got off track and was trying to tell y'all how to do policies and procedures, mm-hmm. and that's none of their business.
Right.
And I stated that in the meeting, mm-hmm. so it's not like I'm coming up with something new. And I spoke with y'all about it. I was like, listen, y'all have policies and procedures you have to pass as a school board. You worry about that. This, you know, we want input on the money and the budget and how that's working. So I think it's a lot better.
Absolutely.
And yeah. I want to commend Randy Porter for doing an excellent job,
mm-hmm.
being a great leader
sure.
for, you know, the mayor of this county. He has just stepped up and done an excellent job. You know, I heard a commentary from a news reporter out of Nashville, and he compared Nashville and Cookeville, and the two, did you see that as well? It was amazing. It was great.
Yep.
And so, you know, just commending Cookeville for, we didn't raise taxes and we were hit harder with the tornadoes, you know, and the pandemic than Nashville was per, you know, for ratio numbers wise and whatever. And anyhow, I just thought it was a good piece. And, you know, unfortunately, Nashville did raise their taxes. And I'm just thankful that we're in a county that, you know, is mindful that we don't have to do that, that we did cut back and we still made ends meet. In fact, as a school board, we took out $100,000 from our fund balance to make ends meet for our budget this year, so that we came to you with a zero balance budget.
And sometimes that's what it takes. And you're right. The commentary on the news the other night was good, and it was, it's a direct reflection on our leaders, on our department heads and officials, our employees. We lost $20 million of appraised property through the tornado.
Wow.
So $20 million of appraised property.
Wow.
And our penny value, which is based on the assessed part of the appraisal, which it's a formula, but it remained pretty much the same, or actually was a little bit more this year. And we expected a drop through the loss through the tornado, but our assessor's office, Steve Pierce, and his people got out and picked up the new construction, and the people are moving here.
Mm-hmm.
People are building.
Yep.
People are improving their property. So with all that going on, we were able to break even basically on penny value. So our tax revenue, when it trickles down to tax revenue, the assessed property goes down to tax revenue, is about the same as it was last year, maybe a little bit of an increase. So we didn't have to worry about losing tax money.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were fortunate with that, you know, and it takes the whole team and everybody working together. So the budget process was simple this year, and unfortunately it was simple because of the nature we're in. But budget committee met three times total. I've been budget committee chair five times. I think I had to sit out 1 year because I couldn't serve more than 2 years as budget committee, and they changed that rule. But I think I've served five times as budget committee chair. We meet minimum of eight times, nine times a year. Well, this year we met three because it was basically simple. No new money, no tax increase. We're going to help our employees out because they've worked hard through all this. They've adjusted. We're going to give them their step raises. And step raises in Putnam County, $600 per non-public safety employee and $1,000 for public safety employees every year if the money's there. Money was there. They got it. It's the only increase we had, but other departments cut to make it actually a lower budget than last year. So we met three times, recommended to the commission. Took us 30 minutes to approve the budget electronically on Monday night, and we now have a budget. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the school budget. Mm-hmm. We got about 3 minutes in this segment. We probably won't get through everything, but I mentioned the increase in revenue y'all had was the BEP. There's your sales tax is the same amount every year, regardless of what comes in. And we thought, actually, we were projecting back in March and April that your sales tax, you would get the sales tax because it's in the resolution. Y'all are going to get $17 million every year.
Mm-hmm.
But the debt service fund, where a majority of the sales tax for the county goes, we expected a decrease. Well, that's not really happened. Sales tax has been actually just as good or better than last year through this, and that blows my mind. However, we're still budgeting conservatively. So really the only increase y'all got was BEP money.
Mm-hmm.
What are the plans for the school board with that extra $1.9 million with the BEP money?
Well, some of the things that we did with it were our step increases. So those are basically something that's going to happen every year where they fall on the scale. We added some positions for growth. We're going to buy some curriculum that was needed. The biggest thing there is new English ELA books and stuff. And then we're doing some maintenance improvements. We needed to do some things at the track at CHS, and then we did the Upperman and Cookeville High School gym floors. Mm-hmm. Normally those just get kind of re-waxed every year. Mm-hmm. Well, we actually did the whole stripping and did some much needed improvements there. So,
and I believe, I might be wrong with the Upperman floor, but that's the first time it's had that much of a renovation, right?
I think you're right.
In what, 18 years or 19 years, something like that? So that's probably time. And the CHS track, what was it, just old and not usable? Or?
Well, what we're going to do, and maybe I can throw this in here,
sure,
but we've got a group that raised money at the Cookeville High School. I'm going to give a shout out to Kaylor Taylor, Carrie Apple, and Julie Baker for actually raising the money, and thankful for all the people in the community who donated to the turf. The track needs to be redone, so we're going to be able to put the turf down, and then they'll come in and do the track either over fall break or right after football season, wherever that goes. But the track needed to be redone and resurfaced.
So let's be clear on the turf. That was all fundraising.
That is exactly right.
It's no county money.
It's private.
Yep, private fundraising. Yeah. No county school board money. No. No local tax dollars going to the turf. No. And that's where, you know, some counties can afford to do a turf on their fields. I mean, you go to Knox County, you look at all their football fields, they have turf. Well, Knox County's bigger, have a bigger tax base. But Putnam County was in a position.
It was the Haslam's helping that.
That's true. Putnam County's in a position not to do that. So the parents understand that, and the parents got to work. And that's congratulations to them and Cooper High School. I know it's going to look good. We look forward to seeing that. Mm-hmm. Wrapping up the first segment, we come back. I want to talk about more of the budget highlights of the school board budget. And then we'll get to talking about school opening. And that's actually two-hour day was yesterday. So Thursday, yesterday, two-hour day. So is that right? Thursday is two-hour day. So Friday, today, they're off, right? So they're off today.
Teacher work day.
Teacher work day. And then Monday, it starts back full. Schedule full day.
That
so we're
correct.
Going to talk about that. When we come back, this is Trending. I'm Ben Rogers. I'm visiting with Celeste Gammon and Kim Cravens from the school board. We'll be back in just a second. Welcome back to Trending. This is Ben Rogers. I'm visiting with the vice chair of the Putnam County School Board, Celeste Gammon, and board member Kim Cravens. Kim, you were actually chairman, what, 2 years ago?
Actually, I think it's been four.
4 years ago? Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I think it's four.
How often does the chair roll off the school board?
We elect a chair. It's supposed to be every year, but typically we do 2 years, only because it takes kind of a while to get in the groove of that.
Okay.
So,
in August or September?
In September after the election. Not always after the election, but
that's
every
when the
September.
Chairman's elected. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, y'all are great, doing a great job. We finished the last segment talking about the budget. There's a couple things we didn't get to. You had mentioned positions, 12 new positions. One of those is a new assistant principal for Baxter Primary School, full-time, because
correct.
Baxter Primary School and Cornerstone Middle School was sharing an assistant principal,
mm-hmm.
and she was going back and forth. So I know that was difficult. So that was one position I know of.
And much needed.
It was. It was. It definitely makes things easier for Ms. Wide at the Baxter Primary. And some more highlights. Of course, you mentioned the step raises for the teachers, and I mentioned the step raises for the county, and we always want to kind of coincide with each other. You know,
mm-hmm.
we don't want y'all to be left out if we're giving step raises, so y'all are able to fund that. But cost of living raises?
We couldn't do a cost of living raise, and trust me, everybody would love to be able to do that for, you know, our teachers and everybody in the school system, but it just wasn't doable this year with the tornadoes and a pandemic. But what we could do is that we knew there was going to be an increase in the health insurance, but that increase actually came in less than what we thought it was going to. So we were able to absorb that increase so that we did not have to pass it on to the employees at this time. So tried to do a little something.
I think that's always good. I have counties that actually this year their insurance premiums went up for their employees and they didn't get a raise. So basically they're going to make less next year or this year
mm-hmm.
because their insurance went up. They didn't get and it's some counties are struggling. Some counties are having a hard time with their budget. And it's so you're as an employee, you're making less money now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just you never want to try to get that situation.
Right.
You had mentioned the Cooper Turf project. And again, that's wonderful. What is that kind of project cost? Is it $700,000, $750,000 to actually buy the turf and install it?
I think that $750,000
was. So they raised $750,000.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
we did, privately.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And any school's welcome to do that. That
Absolutely.
Wants to take on that project. It was, you know, we don't want any school to feel like we did this for Cookeville High School and we wouldn't do it for you. We didn't give any money to
sure.
this, but if another group came with the same, you know, we agonized over the contract and we poured over, you know, making sure that everything was going to be done, because at the end of the day, that. The Cookeville High School football field belongs to the Board of Education. So when we're gone, when we're no longer on the board in 5, 10 years or whatever, we have to make sure the product we have is still good for, you know, the next group that comes along. So we didn't want to be left with something that might, you know, have something that tears up or they, you know, whatever. Anyways, we have poured over the contract. We feel very secure in what this group has done. Our board attorney, Dan Rader, has poured over the contract. It was just a lot of work. But again, I want to commend Carrie Apple and Kayler Taylor and Julie Baker for all the work and dedication they spent. That if anybody could have quit on any kind of project, it was them, especially after the tornadoes. We were like, oh, no, this isn't going to go through. People won't continue to give. Well, people did continue to give. People gave of their time with the tornadoes, right? We saw Putnam County come together on that. And then we saw people who came together who no longer even live in Putnam County who wanted to see this turf project go, alumni, to give towards this, local businesses and things like that. So we're super thankful for everybody coming together, but especially those three women for giving of their time and for making this happen for Cookeville High School. So, I appreciate that.
How long had this been going on, this project?
They just started in,
January?
Wow. I mean, they really, really stepped up to the plate, and they really pushed hard.
Yeah.
So, and I'll mention, too, some things going on at Upperman. You know, back in, I guess it was April, I work out with one of the assistant, the head football coach of the middle school, Dustin Williams. He's a friend of mine, and we'll work out, and we were pulling in to run, do some stuff around the campus, and there's a light pole down at the football field, and we're looking at like, what in the world happened? So apparently, because it stormed, but I guess it wasn't very secure, maybe whatever. Thank God it fell when nobody was there.
Sure.
Yes,
it didn't hit anything else. So we know we have one light pole down at the football field. They start inspecting the other light poles, and they're not safe.
Right.
So all of them are down.
Right.
And y'all are going to replace those lights.
Yes, we are.
And so I appreciate that, and I know the community at Baxter appreciates that as well. And they're going to be the really good lights. They're not going to be some old lights you're just putting up from somewhere else. So that's something else y'all have been able to do through Capital Projects. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. You did damage one of the bleachers barely kind of at the end, and that one's getting fixed, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So everything's... Everything's being fixed.
Well, and we did get some insurance money for like what actually fell during the storm.
Right.
So that'll be used towards that. But those lights definitely need to be replaced, and we need to have a safe environment at the field.
Yeah. So anybody out there wanting to raise money for other schools in the county, you can do that. You know, there's a process to go through with the school board.
Sure.
I'm part of the Upperman Campus Community Council, and I have to fill out paperwork every year and send it into the principal, and then the principal sends it in to y'all, and y'all review it, make sure we're on the up and up, and as a nonprofit. So there is a process, but it's well worth it. So let's get into our favorite subject of COVID-19. And this is one of the reasons I want to have y'all on, because this is trending and getting back to school. And we're not here. I'm not here to start controversy. I'm not here to put you on a bad spot. I want the people to be informed about what the work y'all put in for months. As Celeste, as you said, months, y'all been working on this and worrying about the kids and what's the best way to educate them. And it's been going on since this started.
Right.
What were discussions like when y'all were deliberating on how to open schools on time?
Well, I mean, this plan has you know, we've been wondering what this is going to look like since March, you know, how this was going to look and what this was going to look like all through the pandemic. So we officially got a board together, a committee together, I should say, who started our back-to-school process the beginning of May. And they have been working on a weekly basis on what this looks like. We have had consultations with Lisa Bumbelow on a weekly basis for, you know, who is the director. Is that the correct term for her?
She is the director
of the Putnam County Health Department.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. We have had input from local physicians. We've had input, obviously, from the state and, you know, looking at guidelines and how to do all that. We've had staff members and committee members and, you know, everybody looking together on what this looks like and how to do this best. That is the thing. We have had the children's safety at the forefront of our minds with every single decision that was made. You know, we get all the CDC guidelines all come through to us on a weekly basis. We keep up with what TSSAA says was going on in sports. We know all those things the minute they happen. You know, we're not the minute that they happen, but I mean, we get an email fairly soon afterwards if we weren't, you know, on the call or, you know, we communicate with each other on, hey, what did they say? All right, we need to go back to the drawing board. What does that look like? So I'm very proud of Corby King, our director of schools, and everybody who has been involved in that committee that's worked tirelessly. Y'all, they have made plans, scrapped plans, put plans back together. You know, it's fluid. You've heard that term before, but it has been fluid.
And it's updated every day based on information that we receive every day.
Exactly.
And I'd like to say, I mean, we're well aware of what the CDC put out there, but we do not have the resources to function like what the CDC put out there. I mean, they want to put one kid in a seat on a bus and every other seat. Well, I mean, we just feasibly can't do that. We don't have the buses. We don't have the drivers. I mean,
I was about to say that. First of all, you have to double up on your buses.
Mm-hmm.
You have to double up on your drivers.
And double the money.
Double the money on personnel and equipment. And y'all having a hard time finding enough people to drive buses now, right?
That is true.
And also go back to the point that we took out $100,000 from our fund balance mm-hmm. to cover this year.
Right.
So keep that in mind yeah. when we're saying double the price of the buses and everything, when we just took out $100,000 just to make our ends meet for this year. So.
Well, one bus, if you're lucky, unless it's went up the last few months, is $90,000. If you're lucky to get it.
Yeah.
It's going to be $90,000 to $100,000. So do we have any idea how many buses we have up right now? Do you even have a number?
I don't.
I'm sure Ken Bradford does.
Yeah. So yeah. You double that
number.
We're
on a rotation. I mean, I feel like we're doing pretty good with that.
Yeah, we rotate like we need to. But, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to find drivers. And, like, we get into problems when you have athletic teams that need to leave school early and need a bus driver to take them. You can't. You can't send the team because the bus driver's got to run around and we don't have another driver. Mm-hmm. So it gets hard. So we have made decisions based on the resources that we have, the best possible decisions.
Yeah. Well, and of course, I'm glad you said that because I remember probably about 4 years ago, and I assisted Upperman High School football on the sideline on Friday nights, and we're sitting there waiting on the bus, and we're got to be, I don't know, it's like an hour and a half drive somewhere, and we're trying to leave at 3:30, and there's no bus,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's nobody's fault. It's just lack of personnel, and I think they showed up a little after four, and they hauled, you know, to get there. So it's
the field running.
Oh yeah, I mean, you're basically getting out there stretching, and you're ready to play. But school buses, kids are going to be on the school buses normal, but they're wearing masks.
Correct.
They are, yes.
Because I remember one county called me about the school bus stuff and said, well, we're just going to roll the windows down. And I said, listen, I'm not a doctor. And I'm a consultant mm-hmm. for CTAS, but I'm not here to give you advice on how to treat COVID. So I don't know. But I imagine you rolling the windows down is probably not going to solve the CDC problem. So the kids still will be riding buses. They'll have masks on the buses. Mm-hmm. School bus driver have a mask on. So everybody, I know people's been asking that question. So there's your answer. This is it's flying by. Into the second segment, we're going to come back, continue talking about opening schools, what are the protocols, how's the school board keeping the schools and the children safe. We'll return in just a moment. This is Trending, and I'm Ben Rogers, and Celeste Gammon and Kim Cravens from the Putnam County School Board are my guests, and we'll see you in just a minute. Welcome back to Trending. This is Ben Rogers. I continue to visit with Putnam County School Board Vice Chair Celeste Gammon and School Board Member Kim Cravens. We've been discussing COVID-19 and the process of opening schools back up. We're just now starting, really, the discussion. We left on the school buses, so kids are going to be on school buses with masks on. I'm pretty sure there's going to be sanitizer as they come on the bus. They can use it. The bus is going to be cleaned, obviously.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah.
So all precautions are being taken, but the point is the kids got to get to school, and so you got to use buses. And, again, you can't buy more buses because you don't have the money and put one person per seat. It's just not feasible. So the kids are riding the school bus to school. The survey results, and this is kind of where the decisions were started about going back to school. The school board sent out a survey to all the parents.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got it. I'm not a parent, but I could have filled it out. But I did not. That's not fair. But there's a survey, and basically the results were what?
I think we had about 6,000 people respond to that, which, you know, is probably about half, which we were pretty happy with.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the most that we've ever had respond to some type of survey.
I agree.
Because there's over 11,000 students,
mm-hmm. right?
Right,
yeah.
Probably closer to 12.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyways, we were thankful to get that 6,000 back. But about 90% of the people who responded to the survey wanted to go back to school on time as normal as possible.
So, and that helped y'all make a decision.
Yes,
obviously.
It did. Absolutely.
Because if it had come back the other way, then there probably would have been more discussion.
Sure.
So what are the options for attending school?
Well, you can either attend school in person or you can do remote learning. And remote learning looks much different at the beginning of this school year versus what we did while we were out, you know, from March to May. Mm-hmm. That was just trying to keep the kids engaged and keep them learning. This time, it's going to be much more structured, much more structured. They'll have to report for class. They'll
right.
be counted absent.
There'll be attendance.
Yeah.
If they don't, you know, say that they're
check
there,
in.
Check in, then, you know, they'll be counted absent. It will be an absent.
And listen, we've got a great plan, and we're trying to execute it to the best of our ability. There are some flaws, mm-hmm. and there's going to be flaws in everything that we do. And I just ask people, give grace. Please give grace. Yeah. We are trying. People in the schools are trying. There are people who put in a lot of long and hard hours, and they just don't need to be yelled at.
Yeah, or put down. Yeah, I mean, yeah. This has been a tremendous amount of work, and I just want to commend Sam Brooks and the mm-hmm. whole Vital team, you know, at our facility, at who work for the Putnam County Board of Education, who are helping to facilitate what this looks like. You know, we have other counties and other states coming to us and saying, how are you doing this? What are you doing? You know, because we do Vital well. We did have a lot that we learned through last year, through the spring, mm-hmm. that didn't go, you know, as well as we wanted to. So we had to back up, and we've redone that plan. And I think what we have moving forward is going to be good. Do I think that they're going to change it? Probably as it goes. And I think it will get better, but you're going to have to be able to hang with us and
be flexible.
Trust us for that. Yeah, be flexible. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So is the remote learning kind of live then? Is it live instruction?
It's going to be some of both. Okay. There'll be mm-hmm. some pre-recorded classes okay. where you'll log in and you'll just watch the teacher give a lesson, but there's going to be some while that the teacher is live in class with students in class and they're watching on their computer.
Okay, mm-hmm. and that's where the attendance comes in, right? Because if they're live, then the teacher's going to know if they're participating remotely.
Yes, right. That's exactly right.
So we have two ways to go to school, kids do, and as you said, some of it's live, some of it's recorded. For example, like PE classes in elementary school, do we know how that's handled? Because I know
outside is going to be very important. I think mm-hmm. yesterday they said that it was 20 times you're less likely to be able to get COVID while you're outside,
right.
You know, so I think that our outside playtime, we're working on ways, and different teachers and different schools have come up with different ways to keep the mask, you know, to have the children to put their mask up. And there'll be a lot of education that'll mm-hmm. be going that way. We'll be pushing out a lot of education about how to take the mask off properly and how to store it while they're, you know, out on the playground. Look, I've been a kindergarten teacher. I have been a second grade teacher. I do not in any way expect a child to keep their mask on their arm during playground time and not get it dirty. I've had three kids myself.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Right.
So we have got ways. They're still working on it. You know, a lot of teachers have got some really good ideas about how to do that, how to keep them clean and that kind of thing. I would suggest that parents, you know, schools are going to have, you know, fundraisers with masks that they're going to be selling and things like that. But I would probably have at least three masks for your child, if not more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, they have those. I know one of my principals that I talked to, Jerry Whitson, Thomas Furman, he used some of his CARES Act money and got the neck gaiters
yes.
for his everybody
yes.
in his all the students in his school so that all they have to do is pull it up.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I'm hopeful that kind of thing, you know, will be something that will be beneficial.
I bought one of those from a local provider
yeah.
That makes them. I bought one of those, and I like it better than just the traditional over-the-ear
mm-hmm.
mask.
So, yeah.
Because I got big ears enough. The mask pulls my ears down, so it makes
yeah.
me look funny anyway.
That's funny.
Do we know yet, and I guess it's still going to go on, even though school started officially, how many kids are going to stay home and learn remotely, and how many kids are going to go to school?
The last I heard, it was about 80-20, 80% attending and maybe 20% remote.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's everybody had responded. So by yesterday, we'll have more of the numbers,
mm-hmm.
And they'll look and get those classes together. Because until you get everybody registered, you can't even put your whole classes together. So
yeah. And we can't move teachers into the right positions either. I mean,
right.
you know, if we had half of fourth grade gone from every school in Putnam County, well, we got to back up and punt a little
mm-hmm.
bit here.
In the classroom, what do you think the layout would be for those kids inside the classroom?
It looks like 1950. I talked to one of my teachers the other, or not
that's,
teachers.
That's good.
One of my principals the other day, and it does it. You know, we've been in this position in education where we're clustering kids together and they're working in groups and all this kind of thing. And I'm not going to say that there's not going to be group projects that'll happen, but what the classroom looked like in January or in August last year, it does not look like that this
yeah.
year. The desks are all spread apart in rows, in lines,
facing forward.
It looks like it did in 1950. you know. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. They're still going to get an education. It's still going to be good. We're still going to do group projects. And when they do, they will be masked. So, you know, there's a lot still in the works on this. And I think Kim said this earlier, and we keep saying this word, and I hate to keep being redundant, but it is a fluid situation. Everything can change at any minute. The governor, the health department, anything. This is all being looked at on a daily basis, mm-hmm. and we want what's best for kids.
Well, we understand that, you know, when the plan was really first put together, things were a lot different than what they've looked like the last month.
Right.
So we understand that. We're constantly looking at things. We understand masks are a hot topic. Personally, I don't ever want to talk about masks again, but I know that's not in our reality at this point. But and people are passionate about them. They're passionate for them. They're passionate against them.
I've seen so much response for and against masks. And I'm, like I said, not a health expert. I wear it when I feel like I need to wear one. I don't wear one in my car. I don't know why I would, but I see people that do, and that's fine. But the mask is a sensitive topic. We don't have to dive into it a whole lot because y'all basically stated masks are going to be required. Masks are going to be on by the kids.
Right.
And but right now the schools are trying to make social distancing an option about everywhere in the building is the way I understand it. And in the classroom, as you said, we got a couple minutes left in this segment. Give me your thoughts, if you want to, on why you think 80% is wanting to come back to the classroom. Because that, to me, I thought that's higher number to me than I thought it would be. You think they just want the kids to get back to some normalcy?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody wants a little bit of normal. And, you know, not families like ours. I'm going to use this as an example. My daughter's a first grade teacher in Dallas, Texas. And like I said, I've been a kindergarten teacher here in Putnam County and in another county as well. But, you know, not every child has the same family structure as we do. You know, the example I'm going to use from my daughter is last year she had a six-year-old little girl who was sick, and the mom is a single mom, has no family infrastructure, no help whatsoever. She had to sit in the office all day while she was sick until her mother could come and pick her up. And when she did, she couldn't bring her back to school the next day, obviously, because she was sick. Well, that day, she stayed home. The next day, she came back fever-free. She was well. She confided in my daughter that she was home all day by herself with cartoons, no food. Her mom brought her a burger when she came home that night. That is a large majority of the children that we serve in this county. And when we make decisions, we don't just make them for families, you know, like ours. We make decisions for families like this, for children like this, who have no voice if it's not for us thinking, how is that child going to eat? Yes, I know buses were giving out food, but this six-year-old could not have left her apartment and walked to her school bus stop. She wouldn't even known where it was at or known how to get back.
Right.
Or known how to lock her apartment door. There, we have to make decisions for those kinds of families as well. So because of that, 80% of our families are saying, we want some kind of normalcy. We want our children to be in front of teachers and get instruction. We know that the best form of education that a child can get is going to be in a classroom with teachers.
Thank you for that. That's well said, and I appreciate that. That's a good way to close this segment. We only got one more segment left. I'm sorry. It's been good. We got one more segment left. We return. This has been Rogers. We'll be back with the last segment, Trending, in just a moment. Welcome back to Trending. This has been Rogers. Celeste Gammon and Kim Cravens are my guests from the Putnam County School Board, and they've been giving us some good information. Celeste, we left talking about the kids, and that's why you do what you do. And Kim, that's why you're on the board. You both
Absolutely.
Are on the board because of the kids, and it's about helping them educate and always keeping them safe. You talked about how normalcy is important for a young child, mm-hmm. and even up to 18 years old,
sure.
normalcy is important. Why do you think these kids need to get back to school other than the normalcy? Is there anything else that you just – I know you've been thinking about. You're a parent yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Kim, you have kids. What else? I mean
– one of the things that I think we are looking at when we're making these decisions, you know, domestic violence, unfortunately, has gone up during this time. And to know that some of these kids, like maybe that six-year-old that I talked about earlier, don't have the best home environment. They need to come back to school so that they can be fed, so that they can be cared for, so that they can have a teacher pat their back, but also so that they can see a smile.
Mm-hmm.
That is so important.
Yep.
It's just so important for their mental health and for them to experience that contact with the teacher, I think, and other students, it's just important. Right. We need that. We need to see each other's smiles. And I'm not just saying that as a mask thing. Yes and no. The teacher is going to be in front of the classroom. Either way, they're going to see her smile and feel her warmth and encouragement, and the kids need that because some of them have just not had it since March 13th.
That's a good point.
And I think that's why the American Association of Pediatrics yes. recommended that kids get back in school, because that social interaction is needed. There is so much that comes from being in school, being around their peers, mm-hmm. being in an environment that's safe. And that, I think all of them need that. You know, a lot of kids are living on social media right now, and they need the social interaction, not social media.
Sure. Yeah.
That's good, Kim.
And the school board and the administration, our principals and all our teachers are doing everything they can to make the school safe. A couple of highlights of that. What are a couple of highlights they're doing? I know we mentioned the classroom and the way it's structured and their social distancing, but what else is going on with that?
Something that maybe everybody doesn't know, but some of the CARES money that we received, we are putting into practice. We bought these special machines. It looks like a Ghostbuster machine, but it sprays an electrostatic disinfectant. It's a multi-purpose cleaner, and this goes into the air and all surfaces, and it kills all viruses and bacteria except for tuberculosis, and that's a side note.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But so this goes in, and it's 80%, or no, not 80%, it's 8 times more effective than regular cleaning. It is not a substitute for regular cleaning, which our staff with ABM at every school will still be cleaning. But this is going to be done every night. Every school has at least one. Cookeville High School, I believe, has two or three
mm-hmm.
machines. So at night, after all the cleaning is done, this spray will go in. So if there happened to be anybody there that was infected with any kind of virus, including COVID-19, this, once it's sprayed, would go in and would kill that. This product it's the same chemical that they use to clean out our water filtration system. So if you have ever drank tap water, you are 100% fine to do this. It dries within 10 minutes, so the kids are going to come in. It won't damage any of the machines, our computers, paper, nothing. It's EPA and CDC approved. So this is huge. This is huge. It's going to be used in every building.
And the bus garage has one,
and
so
the
they'll be
garage.
Spraying the buses
yeah.
every
yeah.
night.
Yeah. yeah. So, I just think having healthier spaces is important, and we have made a concerted effort to make sure that our schools are clean.
And something else that we bought was the water bottle filler. So the water fountains can't be used. I don't know if they're going to remove and replace or if they're just going to add
them off.
But
sure.
they're going to have those water bottle fillers so that they can just go up and fill their water bottle up.
Got you. Okay, that's good information. One of the things that we feel like is going to bring some normalcy back is sports.
Sure.
And that's been a huge topic for weeks, you know. And, of course, like I said, I hang around coaches, and some of my friends are coaches and administrators, and we talk about every day. Governor Lee come out on Tuesday afternoon with his update on sports. Can y'all give me a little snapshot of what he said on sports? I mean, basically full go.
Basically, it's a full go. And the things that we were waiting on it's football and soccer. Now, mm-hmm. I have a soccer player, so I pay a little bit more attention mm-hmm. to that because we're ready to go. And there's risk. There's risk involved in everything. I mean, we leave our house every day and you could have a car wreck. So there's risk. But we feel that sports are important to these kids. Mm-hmm. And to a lot of kids, if they're not involved in the sports, they're doing things they don't need to be doing. So I'm excited to see this come back, and I hope that it can be done in a safe way. TSSAA laid out guidelines as far as what the spectators should do, and other things that, you know, should be happening at a field while the event's taking place. So we're going to follow guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
So football and soccer are the ones basically focused on. Of course, you got the other sports in the spring.
I think wrestling's probably in that too, but I don't know as well what that's going to look
sure.
like.
Yeah.
Well, I assume the football teams, high school and middle school, can start wearing helmets and pads then and have contact. Because, listen, I played football. if you don't practice hitting somebody, you can't go out and play in a game. You're gonna be you ain't gonna hit anybody, and it's gonna hurt him more.
Mm-hmm.
So they're gonna have to get into some kind of contact format and practice and get these children ready to play and used to that contact mm-hmm. and physicality. So that's a decision the governor come out with on Tuesday. I'm sure he's probably going to keep updating the protocols for
sure.
sports
oh, yes.
and schools the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, I'm not supposed to have too big of an opinion on certain things, but how many times have we heard an athlete, professional athlete, play with the flu? A bunch. So-and-so's got the flu tonight, but they're playing. Can you mm-hmm. believe that? They're playing the flu. Well, if it's a contact sport, which every sport I know besides golf and maybe a little bit of baseball is a contact sport. Well, if you're playing basketball or football and you got the flu, you're probably going to spread to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they kept playing, So mm-hmm. I know that's probably too much opinion, but the thing is the normalcy for the kids will be better with the sports, and that's a big part of it. That's
for scholarship, too. A lot of these kids are waiting to get looked at for scholarships mm-hmm. for the fall, and it's important to be able to have these sports so that they can go on and participate collegiately if that was their goal to begin with.
Right.
So, I'm thankful that the TSSAA has allowed that to continue. Now, some of those guidelines will continue. Everybody's going to have to be, again, flexible.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be able to go to the game on Friday night because there's going to be certain numbers that will be allowed to come in, and you will still have to be masked. You know, there are guidelines, and we do plan on following those guidelines to keep everybody as safe as possible.
I think right now it's, of course, coaches, players, cheerleaders, parents, band. I think is right now the priority to the game. Is
yeah,
that?
Well, TSSAA does not recommend a full band. Now, recommend versus saying no go probably leaves the door open to some discretion as to how we want to handle that.
Right. And I don't have kids playing, so I might not get opportunity to watch Upperman play this year.
I know, which is sad.
It is sad, and it's part of what my...
Because we're fans.
Yeah, and it's part of what my daddy and I do together, my brother, and that's just part of what we do. But it's okay. We're adjusting. I want to add one more thing before we leave. Remote learners can participate in sports.
That is correct. Just to give a little background, the reason why that was put in place is because we felt like remote learners, if they were staying at home, would be because they didn't want to be in a crowd. And most of these sports are crowd oriented.
Sure.
So I'm assuming that they'll still practice some social distancing and stuff. But even cross country, there's crowds. You might can run by yourself, but you go to a meet and there's crowds. So if they're high risk, I don't know that I would personally recommend participating, but each family will make that decision for themselves. But yes, they can participate.
And I just want to end too from my point by saying that we're just asking all the parents to give as much grace as possible.
Amen.
We do not need anybody to be the mask police or to be antagonistic against anybody who is wearing, their mask, even if they are in their car. We need you to encourage your kids not to bully anybody one way or the other, to show grace, to be flexible, and to encourage your children, no matter what the guidelines are, to obey the guidelines.
Right.
This is what we do. We obey those in authority over us. And so that's what we do. And that's what I want to encourage the parents to do.
Let's be the Putnam Strong that we were
absolutely.
After the tornado.
Yes. Good, Kim. That's
Amen.
Right. Yeah,
Amen.
That's
and
good.
That's a good way to close. I always close a show, if I have time, be kind.
Amen.
If we just be kind to one another on everything that's going on in this world, this country, if we be kind to one another, we're not going to have a problem. The golden rule, and just be kind, love on each other. Thank y'all so much. Y'all been
thank
wonderful.
You.
I'm
Thanks
glad y'all came.
Us.
Come back again. We'll get an update probably in the fall about how things are going from y'all. And so I want to thank my producers, Billy Mack and Will, for putting up with me every week, and they do a great job. Hope everybody has a good weekend. We'll see you next week with another show. This has been Trending. I'm Ben Rogers, and I've had the pleasure to visit with Celeste Gammon and Kim Cravens from the Putnam County School Board. We'll see you next week.